Welcome to the Visegrad Insight podcast from Central Europe on Central Europe.
Welcome. It's 17th of July 2023 and probably one of the hottest week on earth and also in Central Europe. Politically speaking, it's been a hot week behind us. We have had a NATO summit. We have had decision of Turkey about Sweden, enormously important. We had Hungary, a new communication on Ukraine, but without any new meaning, really. And a number of things are upcoming in the Polish elections. My name is Wojciech Przybylski. Adam Jasser is here with me, and we're going to discuss the big picture and specifically the Polish electoral or pre-electoral dynamics. So, Adam, welcome back. You've been on holidays, but I guess you've been reading news. What struck you? What are the most interesting questions on the developments in the region?
I think the war is still the most important factor, and a piece of news which struck me was that it seems that European arms factories, particularly munition manufacturers, are behind schedule in delivering munitions to Ukraine, which obviously impacts Ukraine's ability to conduct the counteroffensive. So that's something that, you know, everybody has been counting on, some gains on the ground by the Ukrainian army. And obviously it's not happening. So the question of, you know, where is it? Where is that offensive is important. So it wasn't a particularly good week for Ukraine.
Well, that's one perspective. And I believe that Ukraine has, on one hand, voiced its disappointment with the NATO summit. There were expectations that NATO would give a potential calendar for opening the invitation in the future. But instead, Ukrainians have heard that they need to continue with reforms, and pending the decision of the evaluation of these reforms, NATO members will look into the future accession of Ukraine into NATO. At the same time, the first NATO-Ukraine Council has taken place. There was a communication of President Zelensky eventually endorsing the effects of the summit. Although I think that he was smiling with his
clenched teeth,
as we say in Poland. There was also an important delivery, which was resignation of membership action plan, which is for new member states, sort of a backstop or at least it gives a extended time of preparation. Now, Ukraine will not have a membership action plan. It will go into NATO straight based on the decision and the combat experience that indeed is the best combat experience among pro-Western allies of today, even if Ukraine is not formally NATO ally. It is definitely supported and its direction is allied with NATO. So I think from this perspective, it's worth to stress that NATO summit has been a success. The expectations were not overplayed. They were downplayed to a large degree, including the texts that we have published. Although the hopes and the advocacy has been for delivering more, faster and better. And I think one cannot deny that there will be a bigger challenge for the next summit of NATO, which will be anniversary summit, if I'm not mistaken. This is 75th next year. And this summit in the next year needs to deliver some spectacular commitment of NATO, because the times are as they are. War times, you know, bring a lot of uncertainty. We'll be much further into social anxieties into the game. And I think that Sweden, provided that Turkey now follows through with the agreement, and Hungary quickly follows, accepting Sweden into NATO, NATO will need to think about the sole key important differentiating factor about its future, which is how Ukraine will win this war and how NATO will be able to secure, with Ukraine's help, its border against further escalation, aggression, and essentially chaos that is spread through a more and more unstable Russia.
Well, to me, it always boils down to whether Europe manages to rebuild its defense capabilities in terms of procurement and armaments. And, you know, everybody is now saying, yes, we will be spending a lot of money. Commitments are there. Budgets are there. But the defense industry in Europe is still fragmented, and we see a lot of national politics being played. So, you know, some of the European companies, they're asking actually for greater cooperation, which is interesting because, of course, it flies in the face of competition rules in the EU. But given the security element, that's the path that should be taken. But for some reason, well, for some obvious reasons, governments prefer to channel their own funds towards their own companies, even if the capacities aren't there to produce munitions or armaments or this and that. So Europe still needs to sort it out. And given that there are some misunderstandings between the Germans and the French on particulars, on specific priorities, it's just very difficult to get Europe's act together on this. And that, of course, has a bearing on both NATO and the overall capability of European states to develop some hard power.
Yeah, to develop hard power, which is an essence of European strategic autonomy. I'll take this moment to self-promote an article, my contribution to the new publication of the European Liberal Forum towards the new European security architecture, where I advocate for redefining and reforming the concept of strategic autonomy. So it does not contradict cooperation. And actually, in the perspective that you just spoke about, Adam, commissioning arms and procuring munition from the industries that can deliver them today, while Europe needs to build up its capacity to strengthen the military sector, defense sector capabilities and ammunition deliveries for sure. It also needs a stable partnership with transatlantic space. And given the times and also the electoral campaign of the next year with a lot of uncertainties, but even in the longer run, in the next four and a half year perspective, Europe needs to come into under a realization that it needs US. US will be maybe less of having that kind of perspective because it wants to prioritize more and more Asia. And Europe needs to have also ability to show to the US that it is a committed partner on behalf of our own defense capabilities. For the time being, simply saying, procuring what it can in the US while building a longer game strategy to build up and to produce its own, in respective countries. And the plans the European countries have been making are quite impressive. If you go through every of the country of European Union perspective of ammunition production, that's really a good plan, a big plan. Some like Poland increasing the ammunition production, but also Germany more than 50%, sometimes even doubling, like in the countries like Finland and so on. But these are all plans, and as you said, they're behind schedule, and the decisive moments really come today. The other fact is that in Poland, the ability to produce depends largely on additional investments, and we are facing surprising decisions. Just last week, the announcement came that the German Rheinmetall company will pull out of negotiations with Polish government on refurbishing or repairing the tanks pulled out from Ukrainian front. This was supposed to be the setting. This was supposed to be the Polish-German cooperation in support of Ukraine. But it seems that it's falling victim of maybe mismanagement, lack of goodwill that we also see explained and demonstrated through very harsh language of the electoral campaign in Poland, and also simply the Polish ambitions of the current government that are trumping the reason behind cooperation in Europe, which is to maintain peace and guarantee that Europe is the only game, European Union and United Europe is the only game in town, and not the game of hostile powers such as Russia. Now, this drives us into the very much electoral campaign, as anti-German sentiments in the electoral campaign are one of the motives, next to the migration, next to the questions of protecting the heritage of John Paul II's religious political religion, basically card that we are playing in the Polish electoral game. At least the government is trying to put it on the cards. And this is the critical week when the decision about the upcoming election date will be decided. Essentially, the government has until the end of this week to confirm that the date of elections will be 15th of October. That coincides with the Saint Paul, John Paul II, the Polish Pope, the late Polish Pope, anniversary, or a special date when Poland honors this man. This decision is expected to coincide with decision about the special referendum. Poland is following the footsteps of Hungary, Russia, and China of organizing a referendum in electoral period. I think also Turkey, if I'm not mistaken, in order to boost the chances of the government winning the elections. But we don't know yet the question of the referendum. So I wanted to pick your brains, Adam, on what do you think are the key dynamics to look at in terms of what's the picture of Polish politics? Well, nearly 3 months, if the date is confirmed, ahead of election date.
It seems to me that the main story is that the ruling party is really struggling to get traction. So they're coming up with all sorts of plans and narratives that are supposed to mobilize their core electorate and perhaps some of the fluctuating electorate, if you will. But it seems they're uncharacteristically for them. They're not really that ambitious anymore, and they have very few new ideas. So they're playing the migration card, but it's not even, as you rightly pointed out, it's not even clear what kind of a referendum question they are going to pose. The legislation that paves the way to the referendum is still stuck in the upper house, which is opposition controlled. So it's not clear if it's going to leave on time. And, you know, are they going to prepare a referendum just weeks before the vote? Maybe. It won't be the first time, but it again will, you know, sort of portray a picture of a bit of a chaos and a scramble to get the votes out, which in my opinion, this is my personal opinion, is actually going to work the other way around. It will show the current team as out of ideas, desperate to hold on to power. And that is always a bad sign and lack of confidence. And the most critical thing to me is to watch what happens to the third party now in surveys, which is this badly named New Hope Party, which is better known as Confederation, which is a sort of extreme right mixed with libertarian ideas, that the party is trying to remodel itself as a sort of pro-market, pro-individual freedom. But there are some nasty characters in the background, racist and xenophobic and misogynist. So they're polling at around 15%. If that trend holds, it will be virtually impossible for other main parties to have majority in the next parliament. Making this new hope or rather new menace a kingmaker in parliament. So So some of the scenarios people are talking about is that there will be a minority government of some sort, supported by the extreme right in the first votes in parliament, or there could be a formal coalition of the current Law and Justice, currently ruling Law and Justice Party with this far right, which could complicate support for Ukraine, which could increase tensions with EU partners, certainly Germany bashing, which has been the sort of the hallmark of the current government, could increase. Generally, it's hard to see Poland becoming a constructive force in the EU. It will be consumed by internal politics, using foreign policy for domestic ends. So the bottom line to me is that it's hard to see a very positive scenario where Poland really capitalizes on its size, on its strong economic performance, and on its sort of role of a linchpin in supporting Ukraine. So in a sense, it's a waste of it's a wasted opportunity for Poland, and it's been going on in this election year. Surprisingly, only a few months ago, as you remember, some people were speculating that, you know, Poland will become the new center of gravity in the EU. Well, it's plain to see for everyone that that this is not going to happen.
Well, I think the gravity is there. The direction is missing.
Okay.
There is obvious importance of Poland. And also when we're talking about this equally important Slovak elections, which is also a country bordering Ukraine, also a country because of which we can deliver reverse gas flow to Ukraine, or have, this was possible in the past. We know now that Ukraine is now actually and has announced that it will close the contract with Russia. There will be no gas flow through Ukraine to Central Europe, which will at the same time reinforce anxieties in Central Europe, Poland and Slovakia, especially ahead of the heating season. I know it's hard to discuss it now. As I said, this is the hottest week so far on Earth, and probably in Central Europe as well. But nevertheless, this is what we are expecting in the upcoming months. The fears of energy crisis once again will need to be overcome as the war goes on. The sentiments about the war, support for Ukraine, individual prosperity and security in terms of economic and the energy security will be very important, very, very dominant.
But there is a certain paradox here, which is that, you know, with Western Europe sort of being slow to the game and being wrong about Ukraine and Russia for such a long time, and in a sense bearing a lot of responsibility for what has happened, but now it seems the West is consolidating around supporting Ukraine, building resilience in energy, actually delivering, doing things. Maybe too slow, maybe disappointing, but at least the direction is clear. At the same time, Central Europe, which was at the forefront of sort of engagement and displayed some kind of clarity about the risks, both on the energy front and on security front, now seems to be dissipating energy. So instead of becoming a center of gravity, it becomes a center of disruption. And this is the wild card. Poland, Slovakia, we don't know Hungary, which is constantly a thorn in the side. So the question, you know, it's again, last week, Milan Kundera, the famous Czech writer and philosopher, died in Paris. And, you know, he had this pessimistic view of Central Europe sort of being squeezed between predatory Russia and reluctant West. And okay, this is not one for one comparison, but something of that Kundera thinking about Central Europe usually getting lost and losing its direction, it's that risk is there.
Yeah, big name indeed passed away, and Milan Kundera's essay reflected the realities of the Cold War. Now I think that is missing a bit the point, I think, because at the same time, Central European countries are demonstrating resolve and have been showing the direction, which is going to be still appreciated among the Western partners. They, you would say, delivered the attitude and as much as armaments as they could. There is a positive move of Poland and many other Central European countries Czech Republic included, of supporting Ukraine. And now also with F-16, it is expected that trainings will continue. Jake Sullivan was very clear about the green lighting of training of F-16 pilots for Ukraine, which will obviously will be again linking Central European effort with Ukraine. But the sense of something changing, I think you're right to point out, is already observable with the election gains, because these are crystal clear moments of polarization that politicians have no hesitance. They're not hesitant at all to capitalize on even such important matters as the war in Ukraine and the protection of Europe whole and free. So we are seeing that trend rising and capitalizing in Slovakia. I believe we can clearly expect that the new whole party in Confederacja will be the guys who are prioritizing economy over strategic consideration on Ukraine, NATO, or Russia itself. Even if that it has these undertones of the far right sympathizer of Vladimir Putin line, overall everyone else who will vote will not see that. They will not see that they are voting for a party that is pro-Russian. They will see it as a party that prioritizes individual egoism.
Absolutely.
which will give the now and here the necessary economic incentives, but will put it at the cost or sell it at the cost
of the basic message,
more strategic consideration. And I think what we heard already from the leader of the party, Mr. Metzen, last week, is really telling the story, underlying what you just said. He already said on the record that they have no intention of entering any government in the next term in Poland. They will wait for the opposition, which they interestingly predict is likely to have a stake in the next government, basically topping over PIS. But they will stay aside. They will condition their support for individual bills, but will not take part in the government, because they would be then compromised potentially by their incompetence to run the country, taking difficult and strategic decisions. And they will wait for the opposition to bleed out in the polls with unpopularity potentially coming to expect early elections later on.
This is very interesting, and I think we're free to speculate today a little bit. We can end up with a hung parliament. We can end up with a Bulgaria scenario where there is no government, or there's a caretaker government for a while, because the opposition is not stupid either. And they're not going to be willing to do a minority government dependent on the far right. So they may say, okay, well, you know, we need another election. So we may be entering a period of political, maybe not instability, but certainly not stability.
Well, yeah, and I think these elections that are coming in Poland and Slovakia mark only the beginning of this period. We're conducting for the listeners kind of a sneak peek, a scenario exercise on the future of European parliamentary elections. We're looking into the electoral dynamics across many countries, also individual with national elections next year. US presidential elections, of course, mm-hmm. will determine the trajectory a lot. And I think the last to conclude the direction of European Union and the West altogether will be the German elections in 2025. And by now, what we know is that AfD is not going to be an easy nut to crack in these elections. And as they went to about 20% of the score of the opinion polls expectations. So clearly, these elections begin a certain longer season in the climate change, but hopefully we'll be able to fight the climate change of political nature more easily than the real actual temperatures. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Stay tuned. Read our special report, scenario-based report on the future of Belarus, co-produced together with the German Marshall Fund. Katia Loska is the author of which, published on the 19th of July 2023, this week, and join the event we're co-organizing with GMF also on the same date.